Hello and welcome to the Manological Podcast. This is episode 2 of series 10. Over this first half of term, our podcasters have been busy preparing material for this and future episodes, and here's what we've got coming up on this episode. We have reports on the Bristol sports trip some of our children went on at the end of last term, and the Year 5's recent trip to Treweren. We also have features on top movies, Britain's Got Talent, and endangered animals. Plus, our interview is another alumni feature, where the children talk with a current parent who also came to Manologe as a child when they were younger. Let's get things started with Seb and Cody from Year 5 to tell us about their sports trip to Bristol.
Hello, my name is Seb.
And my name is Cody.
And today we will be telling you about the Year 5 Bristol sports trip.
On Friday the 28th of May, March, at 8:20 a.m, we came into school in our own clothes and put our suitcases and black bags in the Basil Flashman and put our water bottles and games on the table and then had a lesson. After that, we had a banana and orange and got our bags.
We walked onto the coach and put our bags below the coach and then set off. The drive was 3 hours long. Meanwhile, we played many games, including Top Trumps, a Rubik's Cube, and a football quiz. Finally, after what felt like days, we got there.
When we got there, we took out any bag and put it on the side. After that, we scavenged through the bags and eventually found our bags. Next, we were shown to our dormitories and got out our swimming clothes as we weren't going back to the dorms in between activities.
We had lots of activities. First, we did football and rugby training, where we focused on sprinting, our rugby passing and our football passing. And then we did swimming, where we played water polo and went on a rapid water slide. After, we went back to get our clothes and headed into the dining room.
We made pizza and got to choose our own toppings. I had sweet corn.
And I had olives and sausage slices.
After that, we waited for our food to cook and had a chat. Finally, our food cooked, and I had cheesy pasta and pizza.
And I also had cheesy pasta and pizza.
For dessert, we had chocolate chip cookies, which were amazing, as expected.
Once we had had our delicious meals, we headed back to our dorm rooms and got into our pyjamas. Then, we went to a quiz night. The quiz night was very fun and had a variety of sports questions. After quiz night, it was time to go to bed. Next, we went back to our dorm room and had 20 minutes to calm down before lights out.
We woke up bright and early at 6:45 a.m. and got changed into our PE clothes. After that, we played a ping pong tournament and then had breakfast. I had a Marmite sandwich and Frosties.
And I had Cocoa Pops and jam on toast.
Next, we went to the playground. After that, we walked to the coach.
The journey was 1 hour long and most of us tried to get as much rest as possible because we knew we had a big day ahead of us. Once we had got off the coach, we were welcomed by our ex-PE teacher, Mr. Turpin. Then we were shown to our locker rooms and got our boots on. After, we headed out onto the pitch. We started with a rugby game. It was very tense, with some amazing tries, but they came out with a strong lead.
It finally came to half-time. We had a motivational team talk and played the second half like we never played like before. We tried our best and worked very hard and got 5 tries back, and they only won by 1 try. Next, we had a football match. We started the match and scored an early goal. I played right back.
And I played left back.
Next, we had a lunch, which was a delicious penne bolognese.
Finally, we ended with cricket training, where we had several different stations, which included line-on bowling, catches, and picking up a rolling ball and quickly throwing it to the wicketkeeper. We all slept on the coach and then gave our parents a cuddle when we got back to school. Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Next, here are Sophie and Aria from Year 5 with their account of their year group trip to Treweren.
Hi everyone!
I'm Aria in Year 5.
And I'm Sophie in Year 5. Today we're going to talk about Treweren.
Treweren is a trip to the border of Wales and England.
We had to travel 3 to 4 hours to get there, but it is worth it because we did a lot of fun activities such as
caving,
tunnelling,
rock climbing,
gorge walking
and mountain walking.
This trip was really helpful because we did not also only do fun things, the Treweren staff also kept us busy with getting us some duties to do such as dishwashing, cleaning, sweeping different rooms and many more.
Then there was the food. Every breakfast we had cereal and toast with different kinds of toppings, like jam and Marmite and yogurt if you were still hungry. Next is lunch. We don't have lunch at the building. We have our lunch at our activities. Lunch is always a sandwich roll with fruit and crisps. Last is dinner. Every day we have a home-like dinner and then a sweet dessert.
We were also put into separate rooms to sleep in. The beds were laid out in bunk beds and there was at least one sink in every room. Each bunk bed had a shelf. We also had to make our own beds by putting our bed sheets on by ourselves, but if we needed any help, we could ask our friends.
Then we also got put into activity groups. They are also our duty groups that Sophie was talking about earlier. These groups are your groups for your activities and duties. So if you're going caving, you'll be with that group. You also have a teacher in your group.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Bye!
On to movies next. Here are Bobby and Shaquille from Year 4 with their top 10 favourite films.
Hi, I'm Shaq. And I'm here with Bobby. And we're going to tell you about, drumroll please, the top 10 movies in our opinion. Number 10, Shrek. When a green ogre named Shrek discovers his swamp has been swamped with all sorts of fairy tale creatures by the scheming Lord Farquaad, Shrek sets out with a very loud donkey by his side to persuade Farquaad to give Shrek his swamp back. Instead, a deal is made.
Number 9, Zombies 2. The continuing adventures of Seabrook High students Addison and Zed, whose building romance is threatened by the arrival of werewolves. The film shows the zombies and cheerleaders who have mostly since recalled on from the events of the first film, attempting to coexist and assimilate werewolves into the town of Seabrook.
Number 8, Wonka. Willy Wonka is the mastermind behind some of the most delicious and innovative chocolate creations the world has ever seen. But before shaking up the chocolate industry and making a name for himself as the confectionery genius, the ambitious young creator had to defy all odds.
Number 7, Mario Bros. Reviewers say the Super Mario Bros. Movie has received mixed reviews. Praises include vibrant animation, nostalgic references and enjoyable voice performances, particularly Jack Black as Bowser.
Number 6, The Gladiator. Gladiator is a 2000 historical drama film about a Roman general named Maximus who, after being betrayed by the emperor's son, Commodus, is forced into slavery and becomes a gladiator. He rises to prominence in the arena and seeks revenge against Commodus for the murder of his family and emperor.
Number 5, Despicable Me 4. Gru and Lucy are overjoyed as they welcome their newest family member, Gru Jr. However, their happiness is short-lived when a new villain, the cunning Maximi LeMole, emerges. With their family in danger, Gru and his team must utilise their wits and skills to outsmart the villain and protect their loved ones.
Number 4, Sonic 3. Sonic, Knuckles and Tails reunite against a powerful new adversary, Shadow, a mysterious villain with powers unlike anything they have ever faced before, with their abilities outmatched in every way. Team Sonic must seek out an unlikely alliance in the hopes of stopping Shadows and protecting the planet.
Number 3, Avatar 2. Avatar: The Way of Water is a sequel to the 2009 film Avatar, set 15 years after the events of the first movie. Jack Sully and Nitui are now the leaders of the Mestiza clan, and their family, including their children, Netium, Luak, Chikui, and Kiri, are living a peaceful life on Pandora. However, the Resource Development Administration, RDA, returns, seeking to colonize Pandora and reclaim the planet's resources.
Number two, the Minecraft movie. A Minecraft movie is a 2025 American fantasy adventure comedy film based on the 2011 video game Minecraft by Mojang Studios. It was directed by Jared Hess and written by Chris Bowman, Hubble Palmer, Neil Winder, and Kevin James. From a story by Alison Scroger, Bowman, and Palmer. The film starts Jason Momoa, Jack Black, Danielle Brooks, whereas in the film, four Misfits are pulled through a portal into a cubic world and must embark on a quest to get back the real world with the help of an expert crafter named Steve.
And in number one, drumroll please, is Wicked. Wicked is a musical and a movie that reinterpretate the story of the Wizard of Oz, focusing on the life of Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, and her good friendship with Glinda, who becomes Glinda the Good. At the end of the movie, they make a thrilling song called Defying Gravity and ends the entire movie, and now we know that there's a part two coming out. Shaq, are you excited for it?
Yeah.
So am I.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye!
Over to Lakshan and Nate from Year 5 now with a feature about endangered animals.
Hi, I am Nate.
And I am Laksh. Today we are going to be talking about the top 5 most endangered animals.
Number 5 is the Tapanuli orangutan.
There are less than 800 in the wild.
They only live in Tapanuli, Indonesia.
Orangutan translates to person of the forest.
Number 4 is a mountain gorilla.
There are estimated to be less than 800 left in the world, probably even less than number 5.
They can live up to 13,000 feet above sea level.
For comparison, the Burj Khalifa is 2,717 feet.
Number 3 is the Sunda Island tiger. This is the smallest tiger subspecies in the world.
They are very rare, and it is estimated that there are only 600 left in the wild.
You can only find them in Indonesia.
They can weigh up to 140 kilograms. An average adult human weighs 62 kilograms.
Number 2 is the Amur leopard. There are only 100 left in the wild.
This is the rarest big cat in the world.
Although their wild population seems to be stable and increasing, these leopard subspecies have been critically endangered since 1996.
And finally, number one is, drumroll please, the Javan rhino.
There are estimated to be around 75 individuals left in the wild.
Once found throughout Southeast Asia, Javan rhinos have suffered a staggering decline in their numbers due to hunting and habitat loss.
Javan rhinos can weigh between 900 and 2,300 kilograms, but can run up to 48 miles per hour.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast.
Make sure to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Moving to TV entertainment now, here are Roshan and Freddie from Year 4 to tell us about this year's Britain's Got Talent.
Hi, I'm Roshan.
And I'm Freddie.
And we're going to tell you about Britain's Got Talent. How the show works.
It works like this. One judge gets the golden buzzer, but can only use it once.
And for every act, they can do a red buzzer if they don't like the act.
If you get the golden buzzer, you are through to the next round. And if all the judges press the red buzzer, you're eliminated. Also, if you get the most votes, you go to the next round as well.
The finalists are, drum roll please, oh, Ollie Pearson, The Blackouts, Ping Pong Pang, Vinnie McKee, Stacey Ledbetter, Josh Charm, Jasmine Rice, and Hear Our Voices.
Who do we want to win?
I want Vinnie McKee to win because he is respectful to everyone.
I want Ollie Pearson to win because he is a great guitarist and he's really cool.
Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. And remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye.
We round things off with our interview for this episode. As mentioned last week, we're connecting with members of the Manor Lodge School alumni. And this week, the children are interviewing Mr. Alawi, who came to Manor Lodge as a pupil back when the school first opened and now sends his own children here. Here are Davina and Arthur from Year 6 putting the questions to him.
Hello, everyone. My name is Davina.
And my name is Arthur.
And we are going to interview Mr. Alawi. He came to the school as a child and is now a parent here too.
Mr. Alawi, welcome and thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Mr. Alawi, we would like to ask you about what Manor Lodge was like when you first came here as a child and how it's changed over the years. First of all, please could you tell us when you came here as a pupil?
So I came the year it opened, so I was here from the fall and winter of 1991 and I left in the summer 1998.
Interesting.
In fact, it was the first year, my year group from reception was the first year that went from the beginning right through to the end. Mm-hmm. Did a full cycle.
Wow. Were there any teachers that taught at Manor Lodge when you came here that are still at the school today, or any teachers you have strong memories of?
For sure. If there were any teachers who were still here, they would ask me not to tell you because they may not be happy about this, but no. Unfortunately, everyone has left. I think the last two to leave who were here when I was here, may he rest in peace, Mr. Dunn, who some of you may know, who was headmaster. Yeah. He was my sixth form teacher. He did. He was one of the longest serving members of staff from when I was here. And also Mr. Parks, who I don't think any of you would necessarily know, but he was also another sixth form teacher. I think he left a couple of years before Mr. Dunn retired. But I have memories of many of the teachers. I could give you a comprehensive list of all my teachers throughout the years. And Mrs. Clayton we had in year five, and Mrs. Brothers in year three. And of course, I have to mention my dad too, because he taught chess here at Manor Lodge. He set up the chess club here. Great memories of all my teachers.
Thank you. Describe yourself as a student.
this is a tough question. I think I was a good student. It was different time. The school was much smaller back then, and so. There were probably less opportunities than there are now for many of the things that you, like the podcast club, for example. So differentiating between us was maybe a little bit harder. But no, I was a good student. I was pretty conscientious and did well. And I think that's probably the best summary I can give.
So you were here from 1991 until 1998.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide to send your children to Manor Lodge too? And what made you decide to send them here?
Well, I have such great memories of Manor Lodge and the school. And after my son, who's in year four at the moment, and after he was born, I had a massive nostalgia dose because I hadn't been back in a long time. And Mr. Dunn, who was still headmaster at the time, I contacted him and he remembered me. He graciously made some time to show me around the school one summer after the summer term had adjourned. And when I saw how it had changed, and it's similar in many ways, but how it had evolved, I thought for sure, I'd love for my children to be able to come here too.
Wow, that's really nice.
So, you've been connected to the school for many years. How do you think the school has changed since you were a child here?
I think it's similar in many ways. Many of the values which it had when it first opened, endure. It's obviously much bigger in terms of not the land it occupies, that's the same, but in terms of the number of students who are here and the things that it offers children has evolved hugely. But I would say, it's technologically, of course, it's advanced. And, your facilities like, the library and this, all the new developments that have happened have obviously enhanced it. But I'd say probably the main thing is just the number of students. When I left in the sixth form, there were only two classes per year group, and each one had maybe 15 or 16 students only in it. So it's much bigger.
That's really interesting. Do you still keep in touch with primary school friends?
Absolutely, absolutely. I would say some of my best friends till now, as an adult, people who I met while I was here, and several whom I then went to secondary school with as well, and who I still see regularly and play football with sometimes as well.
Please, can you suggest three words you would use to describe the school now?
This is a really tricky question, because you guys want interesting words, not just normal words, so I'll try my best, but I think having seen and experienced it now as a parent as well, I think that the words I would use, I'd say it's a nurturing school, in terms of how seeing the evolution of my own children here as well as remembering my own. I would definitely say nurturing, number one. Number two, an unusual choice, perhaps harmonious. I find that Manor Lodge sort of sits in its grounds and has grown, yet it feels very natural in terms of how it's done that. It doesn't feel like it jars with its environment. And when I see people here going about their daily business, there's a harmoniousness to it. And I think also it's very familial. It still has very strong family values. Seeing not just myself, but other people who were here when I was here and sending their children here and, continuing that tradition. I think that's, these are great attributes.
What was your favourite subject at school and do you still like it now?
Favourite subject? Probably English literature or creative writing, which Mr. Dunn was a big influence on me because he used to write books and stories and he used to get us to do a lot of creative writing work, and I still write till now. In fact, it's not my profession, but my hobby. I'm in the process of finishing a book at the moment. So, yeah. So definitely creative writing.
Very interesting. What's the book called?
Well, I can't tell you that just yet, but I can tell you what it's about. I can tell you it's a historical fiction, which is set in the 1100s in the Middle East. My father's family is from Iraq originally, and so it's set in Baghdad and in Iraq back in the 11th century. So it's a part of history that probably not a lot of people know about. So hopefully it's something interesting and a bit different.
Very interesting. What house were you in when you came to the school?
So at the very beginning, there weren't any houses, believe it or not. And I remember when the house system was introduced, and I was put in Phoenix House. And
unfortunately, none of us are in Phoenix.
There you go. So
centaurs and griffins.
Well, centaurs and griffins. Fine. My best friend when I was here, he was in centaurs. So yeah.
Centaurs for the win.
There you go.
Are there any particular highlighted moments that you had at Manor Lodge that you still remember?
Well, many. Too many to recount now. But some of those which I remember. From sixth form, I guess the trip at the end of the year to the Isle of Wight, that was we had some great times then. The school production and in sixth form, which I think continues till now. It's a big thing.
Yeah, we're in the midst of it.
There you
now.
Go. I thought so.
What
so
was
yeah.
your school production?
So it was called Children of the Steppe, and it was set during the Second World War. And I don't know if it's still made or not, but Mr. Dunn and Mr. Parks had actually made it a few years previously with a different group of children, and then they made a real extravaganza of it in my year. And it's about a group of children in Russia during the wartime and their sort of, you know, their struggle for survival. It's a great story, some great music.
Production is Annie.
Annie, fantastic. Mm-hmm. My favourite stories and films.
She's playing the part of Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm playing the part of Miss Hannigan.
Yes.
Well, I look forward to watching.
And he will have a wig.
Fantastic.
I've got a question.
That's exciting.
Outdoor learning has developed during our time at Manor Lodge. Do you think it's good that the school now has a great focus on outdoor learning?
Definitely. I think it's a really important thing. I think, especially in this day and age, obviously technology is wonderful, it's very important, but it's not everything. I think, you know, appreciating simple things and, you know, traditional, you know, skills which are nurtured with outdoor learning, I think is great. Probably at the very beginning when I was here, we didn't have outdoor learning, but we certainly did spend a lot of time outside. I think the protocols were a bit different back then. And one fun story you might appreciate, Mr. Flashman, who was the founder of the school, who was headmaster when I was first here, occasionally, at the beginning of the day after we'd done our assembly and registration, he would take us for a run. The whole school body, bearing in mind there weren't too many of us, from the playground here all the way up to outside the school where the old stables used to be, which is now the little housing development on Rectory Lane, and we'd run back afterwards to get ourselves ready for the day. So that was our version of outdoor learning. I think yours is probably more fun.
Oh,
that sounds actually quite nice.
It was good. It was a good way to start the day.
Hello, morning one.
Very fun.
Woke everybody up.
Second PE lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that Manor Lodge has made the parents more involved than when you were a child?
For sure. For sure, I think virtue of all the new things that are offered and extracurricular aspects and involving the parents in, you know, watching sports fixtures and, you know, the various other committees and groups that are formed, I think there's a lot of opportunities for parents to see what goes on a daily basis and, you know, experience that. Even the outdoor learning thing, which my wife went on recently, the last one, so... Definitely, that's something which has changed.
Wow.
The school has a lot of fun building projects and has changed and grown since you came here as a pupil, but are there any places in the school that you would like to see renovated?
Well, I guess probably a lot of the things have already been renovated that needed to be renovated from my time. The school was smaller, as I've said already. The old white building, the coach house, which is now this area, has been renovated. I think I haven't seen every classroom, but I think probably there are very few left which are in the same form as they were. And I think the nursery, which didn't exist when I was here, the building was there, but it wasn't a nursery. I think that is being renovated this coming year. So I think it's doing pretty well, and I'm sure there'll be further improvements in future, but nothing that I can think of.
Having been connected to the school for so long, what are your overall final thoughts of the school that you'd like to share?
I think that Manor Lodge, like I said, has it's in relative terms compared to many private schools, it's a young school, but it's building its own history fast. And I think that as it evolves, if it continues to adapt to, you know, new teaching methods and you know, challenges that I guess all education faces in terms of improving and enhancing itself the way it has done so far, then it won't go far wrong, because it seems to me to be blending and fusing, you know, sort of traditional aspects with technology very well. And so I'm, you know, so long as it sticks on that path, I think that's the way forward.
So you like how it's adaptive to the world.
Definitely, but without
very
losing
interesting.
Without losing its soul.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us today on the Manor Lodge podcast.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thank you for having
me. We've both certainly got a great idea of how Manor Lodge has changed over the years.
Thank you so much for coming in. We hope you enjoyed it.
And we hope that you, the listeners, have all gained a great insight on how Manor Lodge has developed. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Mr. Alawi, and thanks to everyone for listening. We've got another exciting alumni interview booked in, plus some more teacher interviews coming your way soon. So the best way to stay tuned for those is to hit that subscribe button, and please do spread the word across the Manor Lodge school community. The music you heard at the start of the podcast was a piece created on GarageBand by Ethan in Year 4. And now to close the show, here is Ethan again playing a piece on the violin.
Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.